You have important decisions to make for the November 5th election. Tonight's forum is a great opportunity to learn about the candidates before you vote. So, let's begin. We'll start with opening statements, and again, we'll go in alphabetical order by first name. In your opening statement, candidates, please introduce yourself and share why you're running for District 5 supervisor. Please stay within the 60-second time limit. And we're going to start with candidate Allen.
Good evening. Thank you all for coming. It's 4 to 17. My name again is Allen Jones. I am a longtime resident of San Francisco. My father brought us to California in 1960. My father raised 10 children at a single parent. And I love San Francisco for all that it has done. And I give back to the city that helped my father raise his children, his family, in this beautiful city.
Thank you. Autumn, candidate Autumn.
Hi, I'm Autumn Hope Boyan. I co-founded the School Board Recall and I ran the campaign during AlphaVac. And now we have AlphaVac in middle schools this fall. I get results and I will get results for you. So open up your notes app real quick on your phone because I want you to write something down. My phone number is 415-729-5355. If you've got a neighborhood problem, call Autumn, 415-729-5355. A voter emailed me saying that a man who raped and murdered an 8-year-old girl in Santa Cruz, you may remember the story, her name was Maddie, was about to be released to the Tenderloin where 3,500 children live. I made sure the neighborhood knew. Another voter emailed me about an encampment blocking the sidewalk, forcing people with walkers and wheelchairs into the street. I got it cleared the same day, and I will get things done for you. That number again is 415-729-5335. Tell me your problem.
Thank you. Candidate Bilal.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Bilal Mahmoud. I'm a child of immigrants, a renter in the Tenderloin, and I'm running for supervisor to return our district to a beacon of hope. My family immigrated to this country 40 years ago, and growing up in the Bay, we would visit the Tenderloin every month for its food, for its vibrant immigrant community, because it was our home away from home. As an adult, it's where I've decided to plant my roots, because this district represents a dream of upward mobility and opportunity, but a dream that is also now at risk. Thousands of small businesses have closed. Thousands of people have died of overdoses on our streets. Thousands of people have been pushed out of our city. City Hall is failing us, and it's time for change. I have a decade of experience from the Obama administration to nonprofits and business of bridging technology, labor, and business together to get results. And I know that by coming together and focusing on evidence-based solutions, we can get results for our district as well. I look forward to sharing more today in this platform. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much. Candidate and Supervisor Dean.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dean Preston, and thank you all for coming. I've lived here in District 5 for 28 years. I'm a public school parent. I'm an everyday Muni rider and a longtime tenant rights attorney. I have been fighting for the residents of this district for decades, and I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish together. A 21% reduction in street homelessness, thousands of evictions stopped, car break-ins down 50%, community ambassadors in every neighborhood of the district, $10 million for emergency SRO elevator repairs, and so much more. While a lot of people are trashing the city nonstop, I have been working to make this a better community. I've never been part of the status quo in San Francisco. I've always fought for change here, and I will continue fighting for the changes this city needs. Real public safety solutions, affordability,
thank you.
Affordable housing, overdose prevention, and a public
thank
bank.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Oh, and I will, just so you all know, I will go if you start to go over. just you know. Candidate Scotty, excuse
me. Dean and I are working together. He did the mic for me, so I could stand up too.
Thanks, Dean.
Well, my name is Scotty Jacobs. I'm a fourth-generation resident of San Francisco, and I'm so proud to be a San Franciscan. Growing up, when I looked up and realized that I was, in fact, gay, I knew that I wanted to live in San Francisco because San Francisco has always been a beacon of progress, not just in California, but nationally. I'm so proud of that. But when I look at San Francisco today, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that San Francisco is also becoming a cautionary tale of broken ideology. We need progress. We need pragmatism. And while, yes, I am the youngest candidate running for supervisor across all of the supervisor districts, I am also the only candidate at this table tonight who has run multi-hundred million dollar lines of business. It is that pragmatism that will help us take the $800 million budget deficit head on, that will help us get results and get the city going back in the right direction. Every problem in San Francisco is fixable. I look forward to discussing those problems tonight and the solutions we can put in place to solve them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for your opening statements. And so we're going to start. So our first question, and it goes to candidate Autumn, is what is your vision for San Francisco? And if elected, what is the first action you take to realize that vision? Just a second, the mic's not on.
Hello, hello.
All right. That better, guys? Awesome. So here we are in District 5, the best district in the city with all the best neighborhoods where all the interesting, wonderful things happened. And I want to see every one of our neighborhoods with just thriving. I think of our district not as a district with competing priorities, but as a village of very different people with very different talents where we all work together to make our city beautiful and make our city great. I think we can be an example for San Francisco and for the world. The first thing I would do coming into office is the Fillmore Safeway is slated to close on in January, right when I take office. I wanna make sure our neighborhood is taken care of. I wanna keep that Safeway there as long as possible. And I wanna replace that Safeway with something that's even better for the neighborhoods that we look back on and say, man, when that Safeway left, we thought it was gonna be a disaster, but it was actually the best thing that ever happened to us.
Thank you very much, candidate Autumn. Candidate Bilal.
My vision for San Francisco is one where bureaucracy is not impeding the outcomes of our district. If you look across the issues that are facing everyday San Franciscans, from public safety to housing to even transportation, it takes too long to take the bus where service lines are cut because we're not able to hire muni drivers. We don't have public safety on our streets because we're not able to hire enough officers and beat patrol officers because it takes over 255 days on average to hire them. We can't build the housing we need from affordable to middle income housing because it takes 1,000 days on average to get approvals. The bureaucracy is impeding the system, so my first priority will be working on cutting the red tape across City Hall on all these issues, starting with our staffing crisis. We are 20% understaffed on nurses, mental health workers, police officers, 911 dispatchers, EMTs, focusing on cutting the red tape to accelerate the hiring process for all these positions that affect so many of the different issues that affect San Franciscans. That is what I'll focus on from day one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Candidate and Supervisor Dean Preston.
Thank you. My vision for San Francisco is a place that is safe and stable for people. I have fought for over two decades to make sure that people can stay in affordable housing in the city and not get kicked out of their homes by real estate speculators and greed. I wrote the Right to Counsel law, launched the rent relief program that we funded by taxing the very wealthy, and did 12 pieces of legislation to ban evictions during the pandemic. So we stopped over 20,000 evictions in San Francisco. I have dedicated my life to making sure that this is a place where not just the wealthy can thrive. And at the end of the day, I will continue doing that work. We did a lot of it in the pandemic, but now we're in a post-pandemic era where we have to double down on housing affordability and anti-displacement work. It's what I've been doing for decades and what I'll continue to do as supervisor.
Thank you very much. And candidate Scotty.
Thank you. My vision for San Francisco is one where families and businesses can thrive. And that does start with affordable housing, but it means actually building affordable housing, not having abandoned car washes and burnt out buildings like 300 Octavia. It means having clean, safe streets free from the fentanyl epidemic that we are seeing make life in San Francisco difficult for the kids who need to get to school, for the elderly folks who need to get to paratransit and everywhere in between. It also means building a robust downtown economy, including converting the low-density Class B and Class C office space to living space and building a 24/7 nightlife economy downtown that attracts young people to San Francisco. Ultimately, San Francisco is facing a significant financial cliff of an $800 million budget deficit next year, and I've committed to, on day one, auditing the city's relationships with outside vendors, including nonprofits, to get our runaway budget under control. We do not have a revenue problem in this city, we have a spending problem. And if I'm elected supervisor, I will get that under control.
Thank you very much. Candidate Allen.
My vision for San Francisco is to put seniors and the disabled first. I read an incredible story this morning in the San Francisco Standard. A woman who lost her fingers and her leg while being in a shelter in San Francisco, and she can't find housing because the city has a grade system. That's not right. Since when do we need a grade system to tell somebody who doesn't have a leg, you qualify or don't qualify? That's where I will start. And on my website, d5campaign.com, that's where it starts.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, now we go to our second question. Members of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors have voiced support for a plan that will make reparations to San Francisco's African American citizens. Do you support or oppose reparations? And in either case, can you explain why and what you see as a supervisor's role regarding this issue? And we'll start with candidate Bilal.
I absolutely support reparations, and it's important to recognize that because we are in the heart of San Francisco, which has a long history of urban renewal and displacement of the black population in this district, especially in the Fillmore. Unless we acknowledge that, we're not going to be able to address the issue at the crisis that it is today. Black people and the black population in this district have been promised again and again, administration after administration, that there will be reparations, that they will get affordable housing, that they will have jobs, and they have not seen that result, and that's because we haven't had people who are in office to actually fight for those issues. People like to claim that there's not enough money to address this. We have a lot of excess budget in San Francisco City Hall where we're not spending hundreds of millions of dollars due to an understaffing crisis. That can be reallocated to ensure that we allocate that to people who have been displaced and ensure certificates of preference. In Fillmore and Japantown, seniors, black population, API population, they were promised housing for so long, and they never got it. They lost certificates. We want to focus on getting them housing, ensuring their budget's available, and ensure reparations as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Candidate Supervisor Dean?
Thank you. Yes, 100% support reparations, and I have voted for the reparations plan to adopt it. On the Board of Supervisors, I want to acknowledge Daniel Landry, Eris Edgerly, others who are here who were part of that process. I not only support reparations wholeheartedly, but also voted with and co-sponsored with Supervisor Shimon Walton the funding for the Office of Reparations. We need to get serious about writing the check. But I also think it's really important to look at the reparations report and all of the recommendations that were made. We are doing this work in my office. For example, at Midtown, where we not only stopped huge rent increases at Midtown Park Apartments, but we are working with the residents of Midtown to get to a place where they own their place, which is something called for in the reparations report at the overwhelmingly African-American, most it's about 80% African-American tenants at Midtown. So we're gonna make that a reality, not just talk about it.
Thank you very much. And candidate Scotty.
Thank you. Bilal and I actually have very similar positions on this. I think that particularly what is happening right now with the Fillmore Safeway and the disgraceful history of redevelopment in District 5 is one of the darkest periods of San Francisco history. And we need to do everything we can to right that very dark period of our history. That looks like promoting paths to business ownership for local community members. That looks like promoting paths to home ownership. That looks like creating the engines of economic and upward mobility for communities that have been neglected by City Hall for decades. It is not true to the values of San Francisco for us to marginalize communities of people and then not make good on the promises that we have repeatedly doled out and not followed through on. We need to do better.
Thank you very much. Candidate Allen.
I am probably the only one in this room who's opposed to reparations for black citizens. I believe that the only reparations black people need in the world, or I mean in the United States, is the reparations of respect. However, the situation in San Francisco is not realistic. When people have talked about the $5 million figure, do the math. Who's going to be able to afford putting this together? It's not realistic. And I'm a realistic individual. I've been through enough discrimination in San Francisco as a black man. I'm not going to be used. This is ridiculous.
Thank you very much. Candidate Autumn.
So I remember going to the first meeting about the Safeway in the Fillmore when we first learned that it was closing. And I remember talking with Reverend Townsend afterward. We walked home together. And him telling me what it had meant to see the Harlem of the West destroyed piece by piece, the homes coming down, you know, homes literally broken, and families driven away, that community gone. We do need to make things right. We need to make reparations for the harms that were done, and we need to stop breaking promises.
Could you speak into the microphone, please?
We need to stop breaking promises. One of the things I would like to see as a concrete example of that is there's a local activist who works in the Fillmore whose family used to own grocery stores. I would love to see black-owned grocery stores come back to the Fillmore as part of replacing the Safeway that's there now. And I connected her to the Office of Economic and Workforce Development to help her make that dream happen. I would like to see more of that as in payment of the promises that we have made.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we go on to our next question. And this is one of those compound questions, so get ready. The San Francisco Department of the Environment's Climate Action Plan calls for cutting net carbon emissions to zero by 2040. One of the goals of the Climate Action Plan is to make 80% of all trips low-carbon trips by 2030. If elected, what is your plan to make local and regional transit more efficient, increase ridership, and close the overall funding gap that San Francisco is currently facing? And candidate and Supervisor Dean, you're first.
Thank you. Everyone who knows me knows that I am the transit nerd on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. I am proud of that role. I absolutely love public transit, have been riding it every day for 3 decades in this town. I have wholeheartedly supported creating bike lanes on the panhandle, getting parking out of bus stops, advocating for car-free JFK and now Prop K on the Great Highway, reducing speeds, and I've been a leading voice on the board when it comes to reducing traffic fatalities. I am the only supervisor who is an everyday Muni rider. I stopped fare hikes for years during the pandemic, got bus lines restored when service was suspended, and led the fight with transit agencies and advocates when the governor had a $2 billion transit funding cut to get those funds restored. So I will continue to fight for full funding for public transit in San Francisco and beyond.
Thank you very much. And candidate Scotty.
Thank you. So moving, all good. Moving to a city that is not as dependent on carbon-based fuel, carbon-based transportation, my generation of everyone up here is going to be the one to bear the brunt of climate change. So this is something that hits close to home. It means investing in infrastructure, including more electric car chargers and an electric charging network across San Francisco. It means creating tax incentives for property owners to move off the carbon grid and onto things like solar. It means investing in Muni. I am a supporter of Prop L on the ballot this year. That is an important proposition that everyone should be behind and vote yes on. We agree. Also, investing in the sharing economy, whether it's biking, whether it's creating a more bikeable city, there are so many ways that we can reduce our city's dependency on carbon and also make us a city of the future. And I will be a big supporter of those if elected to the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you very much. And candidate Allen.
As you can see to my right, I have an electric wheelchair. And I do not use public transit. This gets me everywhere. But 2 years ago, I approached the city because I was having a problem with charging stations. I have spearheaded getting public electric wheelchair charging stations in San Francisco. And no one on the Board of Supervisors has picked me up on my offer. And I believe that if we're not going to start with public electric wheelchair charging stations, which are in other cities, we're kidding ourselves if we think that we really care about how people get around. And I believe that San Francisco should step up to the plate and have them everywhere in San Francisco.
Thank you very much. And candidate Autumn.
So when we're looking at reducing the climate impact of transportation in District 5 and in our city, I think what it comes down to is making it easier for people to do what's right and making it harder for people to do things that are carbon intensive. So we need to get Muni ridership up. Part of that is making sure that people feel safe on Muni and making sure that Muni is reliable and fast. I'd love to see more express buses and more funding and preserve our funding in Muni to make sure that we can get anywhere we want to go on Muni quickly and easily, because then more people will ride the bus. We need to make it easier for people to do the right thing. I'd also like to see a network of electric cars powered by small solar installations throughout the city. That, I think, will be a game changer. Right now, cheap electric cars are coming out of China at about half the cost of regular cars here. We are putting tariffs on them. You know, at the national level, I'd love to take down those tariffs. Anything we can do to bring down the price of electric cars to make it easy and cheap for people to do the right thing.
Thank you very much. And candidate Bilal.
To address our transportation crisis, we have to acknowledge that the transportation infrastructure of the district is a lifeline for these communities in District 5, especially seniors in Japantown. 20% of Japantown is over the age of 80. They have mobility, senior disability access issues, and so we have to do not just fund Muni, but also fund nonprofits that support them as well. Kimochi provides ad hoc services and on-demand ride shuttles for seniors. We need to increase the funding for that. For Muni, we have to ensure that we have safe and reliable transit access, like Autumn said. District 5 has some of the highest transit traffic collision corridors. Hayes Valley, the Tenderloin, they are still some of the highest traffic collision corridors. We have to install more automated speed cameras. We have 100 that have been installed across the city, but some of the highest traffic collision corridors still don't have an automated speed camera. I will partner with our state legislators, Assemblymember Matt Haney, State Senator Scott Wiener, our future state assembly member Catherine Stephanie, the latter two of which have endorsed my campaign as well, to partner with them to get more automated speed cameras for our district to ensure we're reducing traffic collisions.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we're on to our next question. Okay, we're on to our next question. The open use and sale of illegal drugs in the Tenderloin, especially around Lower Polk Street, is still pervasive despite the efforts of the San Francisco Police Department over the past year. What is your plan to rid the neighborhood of drug dealers and improve safety and the quality of life for all residents? And we're going to start with candidate Scotty.
Thank you. We have a public safety crisis in San Francisco, and that starts with the addiction crisis, which is fueled by the fentanyl distribution going on in many parts, originating in District 5 in San Francisco. It is a huge problem, and we need to take a fundamentally different approach to addressing it. I believe that involves a fully funded San Francisco Police Department. I believe we need to stand with the police, not call to defund them. I believe that we need to also take the approach where if we need to compel people into treatment, we should do that. There are certain people who are beyond the ability to self-efficate into seeking the resources that they need, and it is not compassionate to allow people to die slow deaths on the sidewalks of San Francisco. We see it every day, and it is not only right, it is not only wrong for those people, it is wrong for the families, the kids that need to go to school, and the businesses that are impacted by the city's failed harm reduction led approach to the fentanyl crisis.
Thank you very much. Candidate Allen.
A little while ago, I emailed by request my suggestion to deal with drug dealing to Police Chief Scott. And in this, I had to admit I lived in Portland, Oregon for 2 years, and I sold drugs. In 1981, I was in a situation where it was 105 degrees and I was trying to sell drugs. Well, it was too hot. I told Chief Scott, if we use industrial size heat wagons, hold on, you may think this is funny, by hitting them, bouncing off the ground, I guarantee you, you're gonna make people uncomfortable and they're not gonna wanna stay too long. And they will move on.
Thank you very much. And candidate Autumn. Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have walked through the Tenderloin lately, but I have, and it breaks my heart. I came up with my plan. It's called the Fentanyl Plan. It's started with the kernel of closing down the open drug markets, which are the root cause of all the neighborhood problems. So I called up David Kennedy, who invented drug market intervention, and kind of ran my plan by him. And the first thing he said was, you know it's not tested on fentanyl. And I'm like, I know. And it's never been tested on anything above 85 drug dealers. We have 700 of them. So I made some adjustments to it. And I think we need to attack supply, demand, and revenue all at the same time. We attack supply by getting drug dealers off the streets, either by arresting them and keeping them off the streets, or by ideally diverting them into other careers. We attack demand by getting people into effective, evidence-based treatment, compelling them if necessary, and enforcing the laws against public drug use. And we attack the revenue by going hard against shoplifting, which funds the open drug markets that are killing our city.
Thank you very much. Candidate Bilal.
The fentanyl crisis affects so many people in the Tenderloin. I walk past the open-air drug market every night when I go home on 7th and McAllister, as I live a block away. And it affects the people who are suffering from overdoses on our streets. It affects the children who have to walk by during the day. And it affects the families at night that are unable to go outside because of they're afraid of the gun violence. Every other week in the Tenderloin, there is gun violence and shootings outside our doors. And so if we don't address this crisis, we are not creating the safe conditions for all levels of our society here. So I've been advocating for one of the only evidence-based approaches that's been introduced in this campaign, a drug market intervention, like Autumn indicated. It is the only evidence-based plan that has actually worked in the United States. It's eliminated opioid crises in North Carolina and Nashville, Tennessee. It's being piloted now actually in Kensington, Philadelphia, where there is a fentanyl market. And in that capacity, it works in three steps: incapacitating the drug market by creating an interagency task force, fully funding our drug market agency coordination center that exists today, but it's all operating on overtime. Second, workforce development for people who come out of prison. And third, beat patrol officers, of which we have zero, to maintain community safety throughout the neighborhood.
Thank you very much. And candidate and Supervisor Dean.
Thank you. I want to just start and say I absolutely love San Francisco's Tenderloin neighborhood, and it's an honor to represent it. And I'm really tired of how the Tenderloin is used as a national punching bag. We have absolutely need to address serious conditions in the Tenderloin. But let me tell you, from representing this community, the people of the Tenderloin know what those solutions are. And if you want to look at the work that we've been doing in the Tenderloin, it's all work that the residents of the Tenderloin have asked us to do. Bringing community ambassadors to the community, getting $8 million from the federal government to invest in street safety. All of the work to fill vacant supportive housing units. We filled over 300 vacant supportive housing units to get folks off the streets and into housing. And when it comes to overdoses, we led the effort with the Department of Public Health to create the city's only overdose prevention plan. When we follow that plan, overdoses go down. When we do stupid things like shutting down the only safe consumption site in the city, overdoses surge. Let's follow the overdose prevention plan fully.
Thank you. Thank you. We will go to question number 5. How do you intend to balance the goals of our climate action plan to restore natural lands of all types, conserve biodiversity, and expand urban forestry and greening as we try to add roughly 82,000 housing units by 2031? And we're going to start with candidate Allen.
I have absolutely no knowledge on how to do this, and I admit it.
Thank you very much. Candidate Autumn.
I don't think there's a lot of tension here between conserving biodiversity and building more housing units. No one's talking about building housing on our parks. No one's talking about building housing on our beaches. Where we're talking about building housing is places that are currently parking lots, like the car wash at 400 Deviz, or places that are affordable housing that needs to be revamped, where, like Freedom West, where we are both improving those units and putting in more modern facilities, as well as a whole bunch of new trees that will improve the neighborhood. Now, I do think we need to be planting trees everywhere in the Tenderloin, and we need to be making sure those trees are appropriate to the neighborhood, appropriate to our climate as our climate changes. I would love to see us looking south and grabbing native plants from those areas and planting them up here as to kind of help trees and plants migrate north as our climate warms.
Thank you very much. Candidate Bilal.
On the question of urban canopies, if you look at the data and the evidence, it shows that actually District 5, specifically in the Fillmore and the Tenderloin, have some of the lowest density of urban canopies in the entire city. And this has been a historical issue that's actually affected a lot of marginalized communities, the black population, the Asian population. It also extends to the Bayview. And a lot of the issue is we haven't had a prioritization from our Parks and Rec focusing on these respective neighborhoods. FUF is an amazing organization, Friends of the Urban Forest, which has actually been helping here. But it's an interesting thing. When you plant a FUF tree, they only maintain it for a couple years. After a couple years, the city is responsible. And the problem is that the city is not maintaining its inventory records. The city maintains, want to guess how long it takes to take a inventory? They do it every 10 years. every 10 years is a tree inventory in our city, and that's why we have so much tree death. There's over $1 to $2 million every year in tree death and maintenance that happens in our city. So we need to be investing in technology infrastructure to maintain tree inventories, to then ensure that we are monitoring these trees, ensuring we spread the urban canopies into the districts in the neighborhood that are not being served today. And that's how we get this back on track.
Thank you very much. Candidate Supervisor Dean.
Thank you. And again, on an issue like tree planting, I just want to distinguish between talking about it and doing it. And that's what we've been doing. We've done 3 major plantings in neighborhoods of District 5 that follows our tree plantings in the Tenderloin. So I absolutely agree with the diagnosis of the problem. But we have been going to bat for the funding and battling against the bureaucracy in City Hall that we stand up to in my office. It took us 2 years, but we got trees in the Lower Haight, north of Panhandle, Tenderloin, and we'll continue to do that work. I did want to address, though, the connection with housing, because this is a really important point. For years, when we talked about environmental issues in housing, the focus was on all of the tech workers who were commuting from a distance and how it would be environmentally more sustainable to have them here. A reminder, things have changed. A lot of those tech workers are working from home. But you notice who increasingly has to drive into this city? Low-income workers, janitors, hotel workers, others. That's who's commuting from Vallejo and other places. That's what we need to address by building affordable housing in this city.
Thank you very much. Candidate Scotty.
We have a well-documented housing shortage here in San Francisco, 82,000 units, 46,000 of which need to be affordable housing. I think there is a way to build more housing and maintain the green spaces that make San Francisco such an incredible city to live in. I do not see housing and green space as adversarial issues. I do think the parks in San Francisco are one of the crown jewels of what makes this city incredible. And we need to do everything we can to invest in making sure that those continue to be the crown jewels of our city. However, with a looming budget deficit and an inability to make sure that our books are lining up the way that they need to, there will be cuts. And if there are going to be cuts to the budget, we need to do everything to make sure that we are protecting the green spaces, but ultimately getting our budget back on track where we aren't having to make a choice about whether or not we're going to keep our parks intact. It is one of the defining features of San Francisco. It is one of the things that I think everyone at this table can agree is one of the things we are most proud of as San Franciscans. We need to protect our parks, and that starts with budget reform.
Thank you very much. Now on to our next question. To stay with housing for a minute, of the roughly 82,000 units that need to be built by 2031, how many of those units do you think will be located in District 5? How many would be affordable housing versus market rate? And how will you include families in your plans for affordable housing? And we'll start with candidate Autumn.
All right. We have 82,000 housing units to build, and we do have 2,000 of them coming online in the next few years in the Freedom West project, as well as 160 coming online on Haight Street, and it looks like just over 200 coming online at the car wash site, assuming that that is approved. Now, that's not anywhere close to 82,000. There's a lot more to be built. I would like to see a lot of that housing built in other districts that have historically kept development away, because I think they need to do their fair share too. One opportunity that is interesting to me, I haven't taken a position on it yet, is there are folks who want to take down the Central Freeway and put 40,000 units right there in the heart of the city in space that is not currently being used for anything beautiful as freeway off-ramps and so on. If we could put 40,000 of the units there, that could be a very interesting way to get new housing, affordable housing, right in the center of our city.
Thank you very much. Candidate Bilal.
Housing is the crux of the District 5 debate and this campaign. It's the number one issue we hear from residents every day. And it's because we are the slowest city to approve housing in the entire state and possibly the entire country. We have thousands of days of permits approvals, hundreds of permits that have to be approved, and they have to be done sequentially rather than in parallel. And that's the longer it takes to build housing, we have to acknowledge that increases the cost of development, which then gets passed on to the renters. I'm a renter myself, I have been for over 10 years, and it's not progressive, it's embarrassing to have a housing project approved so slowly. And this is not just a disservice for affordable housing development, but also middle-income housing. Teachers, firefighters, EMTs, they make too much to qualify for affordable housing. If we don't make market rate housing affordable, we're not going to have affordable housing for everyone. And so I've been endorsed, and I'm proud to be endorsed by both the carpenters and the building trades, because they see that I have a consensus-based approach to addressing this crisis, which is cutting the red tape. Just as our Vice President Harris says, if you cut the red tape, we can ensure that we reduce rents.
Thank you.
How we're going to be focusing to address our crisis.
Thank you very much. Candidate Supervisor Dean.
Thank you. I have a clear record of supporting housing at all levels, which is why I am the number one pick of the San Francisco Building Trades Council. I voted to approve 30,000 units of housing, 86% affordable. I've been especially focused on housing for working San Franciscans. Look across the district and you'll see what we are doing. 160 units of affordable housing in the Haight, the biggest housing development in a generation in the Haight-Ashbury. We convinced the state to build housing on the DMV lot. We'll be having hundreds of units of affordable housing there. 180 Jones, the Kelsey, 650 Divisadero. We are building affordable housing. Our ballot measure also taxed the ultra wealthy with Prop I to raise hundreds of millions of dollars so we can build more affordable housing. And finally, one site that is essential, Parcel K in Hayes Valley, a city-owned affordable housing site, and I'm the only candidate that will unequivocally say we need to build housing on that site now.
Thank you very much. Please hold your, thank you. Candidate Scotty.
Just want to clarify a few numbers. First, of those 30,000 units we just heard about, 24,000 were approved in 2020. We know how long it takes to build housing in San Francisco. It's hard to have incredibly claim credit for 24,000 units of housing in your first year of being in office. Of the affordable housing we're talking about, 327 affordable units have been built in District 5 in the last 4 years. Where is the housing? It's blocked. It's blocked by ideology that says that 100% of the units we build need to be affordable. That just isn't how you build housing. We need to build housing at all levels, market, middle income, and affordable, because that is ultimately how we make sure that we make good on the 82,000 units that we need to get built, built by 2031. On top of that, if you look around District 5, you see sites that could be housing, but they're not. And it is because ideology has gotten in the way of us actually making progress on what San Franciscans deserve most, which is an affordable place to live.
Thank you very much. And now candidate Allen.
I think we're in a situation where beggars can't be choosers. San Francisco is begging for housing. And so I myself will not oppose any building of any structure in San Francisco, and especially in District 5, where I live. The fact of the matter is we have handcuffed ourselves too long, and we need to unshackle ourselves and allow these developers to come in and do their thing, and there is a percentage for affordable housing with a lot of the plans that I have heard about. I believe that there's too much getting in the way, micromanaging what goes in this district, and we need to stop that.
Thank you very much. And candidate Autumn. Wait,
I'm... Have you answered this first?
Do
you want me to go again?
No. No. I jump pages. Okay. I got it. Another question. District 5 has a small number of parks and green spaces. If elected, how will you increase parks and green spaces and make them safe and accessible for our children and other community members? And we'll start with candidate Bilal.
District 5 already has some of the best innovative models for parks. We have the Panhandle, we have the Wiggle for transportation infrastructure, but we have all opportunities as well in District 5, which have been stalled for too long. Car-free Hayes is still not completely car-free. Hayes 7 days a week. The Golden Gate Greenway has a vision to actually be a full park and also car-free for 7 days a week, and it's still not there. The challenge here fundamentally is a lack of collaboration between different departments in City Hall, between the supervisor's office, the mayor's office, Parks and Rec, MTA, the fire department. And what we have to do is make sure that we're listening to the community and ensure we bring everyone to the seat at the table to make sure we're making progress on these issues. And that's one of the major priorities that we'll have, is ensuring that car-free Hayes Street, that car-free Golden Gate Greenway are completed within our first year. It's been 4 years now and we haven't seen progress, and we need to make sure we're making progress by cutting the bureaucracy, bringing people together, and consolidating these departments to actually bridging conversations.
Thank you very much, candidate Supervisor Dean.
Thank you. Again, I think there's a lot of agreement around a lot of these issues, but the difference is we're doing this work. When we talk about car-free Hayes, it was fellows from my office who volunteered to partner with Hayes Valley residents to get out there and create car-free Hayes. We are 100% committed to it and have been battling with the administration and MTA to make it permanent. The Golden Gate Greenway is a vision of the Tenderloin community. It's amazing. We went to bat and got the funding both from the federal level and the County Transportation Authority. So we are doing that work, and I really would just encourage everyone in this room, but especially folks who are running for office, to join with us in some of these efforts because it's really important. I also just want to note the Fillmore Mini Park. Very proud that we reopened the Fillmore Mini Park in the last year, and also the Buchanan Mall, which we secured a massive amount of funding from the Department of Transportation, the federal government, to make that open green space a reality as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Candidate Scotty.
Thank you. I think one of the things that stands out to me when we think about our public spaces and our green spaces is, do San Franciscans feel safe navigating our city so that they can openly enjoy those green spaces? And when you look at the city reporting, and the data that we have that shows that over half of San Franciscans don't feel safe walking in their own neighborhoods, that 64% of San Franciscans don't feel safe navigating their neighborhoods at night. Yes, parks are great, and we should continue to support and invest in parks, but we need to also be investing in public safety at the same time. We need to be investing in things like the Community Ambassador Program that Supervisor Preston moved to save. I think that was fantastic, and I'm glad that the Community Ambassadors exist, and I'm glad they exist in every neighborhood of our district. I think that we need to continue to invest in infrastructure. I live near the Panhandle at night. It is dark in the Panhandle. I sometimes don't feel safe walking through the Panhandle. We need to make sure that our public spaces are well lit, that people feel safe navigating them, and that ultimately people have confidence in their ability to move freely about the city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Candidate Allen.
I believe there are 220 parks in San Francisco, and if I'm not mistaken, I don't think that you can find that anywhere in the country where we have so many parks. How is it that in the Tenderloin there's not an adequate number? I can't call on that, but I know of the situation. It's in my mind to make sure that I keep that at the front of what I want to do. I love parks, and I'm definitely love strolling through with my wheelchair through the Panhandle, but we need some downtown and closer to the Tenderloin, and I myself would look into opening up spaces, and some of the buildings that we do have there, I honestly can see some being torn down for parking, parks.
Thank you very much. Candidate Autumn.
Al, I totally agree with you that the parks and the green spaces in the Tenderloin, we don't have enough of them. You know, I've spoken with a parks commissioner who was trying very hard to get just a little dead end alley turned into a park in the Tenderloin. And she was running into all this red tape, you know, problems smoothing out the, getting rid of the sidewalks so it could all be at one level, putting in greenery, getting a gate installed. Every single thing she tried to do, she ran into red tape. I think we need to work with the Parks Department and really incentivize them to prioritize the Tenderloin for new parks. Prioritize the Tenderloin first, because the Tenderloin is one of our most impacted areas and does not have the access to parks that other people do in other areas of our city. And we should be looking at creative solutions where we're not only looking at these little alleys, but maybe rooftops as well. If we could put some parks on the top of buildings in the Tenderloin, that could be another option for getting people access to green space that we all really need.
Thank you very much. Okay, so you all know I'm in District 5, so I'm paying attention to all these answers. And so sometimes I look at this, and then I look and I'm listening. Okay, but I got it together now, y'all. One factor to address regarding homelessness in San Francisco is preventing people from becoming unhoused in the first place. What kind of protections, programs, or policies do you support to keep people in their homes? And we'll start with candidate Supervisor Dean.
Thank you, and I appreciate the question, because this is an essential part of addressing homelessness. And where we've succeeded, like we have recently in District 5, in reducing the number of people who are homeless, it's not just by filling vacant supportive housing units, by getting folks into housing, it's also by preventing the flow of people from housing onto the streets. We have done that during the pandemic through the Right to Counsel law, which I wrote, and thank you for voting for it, through eviction bans that we passed at the Board of Supervisors. We led the nation in banning evictions, through strong rent control, which I have supported for decades, and please vote for Prop 33 to make rent control even stronger in San Francisco, and through taxing the rich to fund rent relief. The recent city report shows that we prevented 20,000 San Franciscans from losing their homes during the pandemic. That is how we do it. Let's continue doing that work.
Thank you very much. And candidate Scotty.
Obviously, preventing homelessness is the very best thing that we can do to prevent more people from ending up unhoused in San Francisco. I believe that we have some of the incredible protections that are leading the nation as far as how we make sure that people don't end up on the streets in San Francisco. And I think we do have Supervisor Preston to thank for some of those. We are not on the same page, obviously. Look, I can be a good team player here. I see Jen over there. She's like waving her hand. See, I am a nice person. We just don't agree on everything. It's okay. But I do think that that is a good thing. We do need to do everything we can to make sure that we are making sure that we are diverting people from the streets. The streets should not be an inevitability. They should be somewhere that, frankly, no one has to end up on. And that means creating the right city resources, the right funds, the right emergency funds, so that if people are on the verge of facing economic homelessness, there are interventions and strategies in place and resources that are accessible so that ultimately people don't end up living on the streets.
Thank you very much. Candidate Allen.
I have some bad news. I evicted my best friend from high school and my own sister from where we lived. The reason why is because of how they handle themselves in that place. There are many people who do not respect the peace of others around them. And I'm aware of this. And though it is hard to say, you can't stay here anymore, we have to realize that there are some people who just can't handle a place to live. I also must say, I lived in my pickup truck for 10 years and had not one problem. And I'm saying that there is a way that we can prevent people from being out on the streets or the sidewalk safely.
Thank you very much, candidate Autumn.
So it's much easier to keep people in their homes than to find them a new one after they've lost one and are stuck on the streets. Now, one, I support rent control to keep housing prices affordable. And I also support short-term funding like that provided by Proposition C to give people short-term assistance to keep them in their homes. Proposition C has kept over 22,000 families in their home by giving them rental assistance. And I think that's really one of the most important things it does. It's not something we see on the streets because you don't see an absence of families stuck on the streets, right? Now, one of the reasons people lose their homes is because they lose their jobs. And I think one of the ways we can keep people in their homes is to make sure that we are effectively getting people new jobs when they lose their old ones. And the city should be assisting with people who are doing that.
Thank you very much. And candidate Bilal.
It's a two-part question. I think in the first part, an agreement with Supervisor Preston that the best way to prevent homelessness for the people who are evicted is to have tenant protections, rent control, those factors, 100% alignment. But there's a lot of other reasons people become homeless: family conflict, people who lose their jobs, addiction, mental health. A lot of the people that we see on our streets, they're youth, and these individuals need support as well in different contexts. And the fundamental reality is that we're 1,000 beds short to support all those different populations. It takes months for the individuals who are trying to apply for housing legally to get it. And there's too many city departments for individuals to navigate, from mental health to joblessness to workforce development, and there's too much bureaucracy. So I've been advocating for a Built for Zero plan, which is the only evidence-based plan that has functionally ended chronic homelessness in 14 U.S. cities across the country. It guarantees shelter, cuts the red tape to access that shelter, and uses real-time data so we don't have a point-in-time count every other year, but instead is focusing on personalizing treatment to every individual, and that's how we need to actually address our homelessness crisis.
Thank you very much. Next question. Japantown merchants are facing 2 years of construction on the Peace Plaza and Osaka Way Buchanan Mall. What will you do to support small businesses in Japantown impacted by construction projects? And we'll start with candidate Scotty.
Thank you. Yeah, I think this is actually part of a broader trend that we've seen in San Francisco of construction projects adversely impacting businesses. I think you can make the same argument for the Valencia bike lane. And there are other examples of where we've seen a lack of partnership between city government and the merchant communities that are impacted by infrastructure projects and public works improvements not working as well together as they could have. Now, I'm not saying that's the case necessarily in Japantown, but I do think that city government needs to play a very active role in making sure that we are doing everything to mitigate the adverse impacts to local merchants and small businesses when we do decide to improve a public space. So I would be in favor of creating a city-provided fund that offsets the loss of revenue for businesses and also temporary tax credits that help at the bottom line make sure that businesses aren't being adversely impacted both by the top line impact or the bottom line impact when we decide to improve a part of our city, which is something within the scope of government and something we should continue to do.
Thank you very much. Candidate Allen.
I had made a pledge to initially spend $100 for every new business that opens up in D5. Now, I honestly believe that we can call on more people to support neighborhood businesses and go from there. I just learned that there's a taqueria that opened up a block away. Now, I don't know how many tacos I can buy for $100, but I plan on doing business with that business. And the gentleman who runs it is in a wheelchair, an electric wheelchair. And I told him what I was doing with the public wheelchair charging stations. And so he's excited. So whenever I see a business, I'm going to add to that business. And I think that that will help us.
Thank you very much. Candidate Autumn.
So the Peace Plaza renovation has been closely coordinated between Japantown and the city to make sure it provides a minimum of disruption to the businesses. There's been signage, there's been a lot of promotion of alternate routes to get there. But you'll see that if you go there, you'll see that the mall is still busy and most of the businesses are still doing well. Now, we do need to help out any businesses who are impacted by construction, and we do need to make sure that they are taken care of and that their needs are addressed. We can help with, as neighbors, we can help by going and patronizing businesses in Japantown. I stopped by Japantown earlier today and bought some sushi. And I think there's a role for all of our neighborhoods to play as a village to make sure that when our other neighborhoods are struggling, that we are there supporting them.
Thank you very much. Candidate Bilal.
I think first we should acknowledge the amazing work that the Community Benefit District and the Japantown Task Force have done in this neighborhood while this Peace Plaza has been implemented in this renovation. And it goes credit to them for the revitalization of this neighborhood as well as ensuring that the small businesses are not affected as much as they could have been. And in hearing and talking to the community members throughout these different districts and these associations, there's a couple of things. One, Autumn alluded to it, signage. One of the biggest issues we've heard from small businesses is inadequate signage to direct traffic, to direct individuals and tourists to know where to go around the neighborhood and around Japantown Peace Plaza. That's one thing we need to increase. And also beautification of the neighborhood, murals, getting those installed, working with different departments to ensure those are executed. And last is, how do we get more people to Japantown during this time? So more night markets. There was a study and a report in the Chronicle that shows for food stalls, almost $3,000 for a vendor to actually operate. How do we cut that red tape to ensure that it's easier to install and have Nihon Machi Festival maybe multiple times a year to ensure that the small businesses are operating and thriving in this environment?
Thank you very much. And candidate Supervisor Dean.
Thank you. So it's an honor to represent Japantown, oldest Japantown in the nation. And we've been working with Japantown leaders every step of the way to make sure that the renovation is not harmful to the community and their businesses. I do want to say that we partnered with community leaders to secure the funding, both from the state and the federal government. And I want to thank Nancy Pelosi for her partnership in funding the Peace Plaza, and thank her for her endorsement of my reelection. I am the only member of the Board of Supervisors who is a former small business owner. I owned Cafe du Nord on Market Street, and I have delivered in office for small businesses, including a small business eviction ban during the pandemic, waiving back rent during the pandemic, and victim assistance for vandalized storefronts, as well as community ambassadors and enhanced cleaning in commercial corridors across our district. So there's plenty more to do, but from Japantown to the Haight to Hayes Valley and other parts of our district, we have resilient businesses who are coming back strong after the pandemic. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our next question. Considering recent policies on homelessness in various U.S. cities, what's your view on criminalizing homelessness versus treating it as a socioeconomic issue? What specific actions would you propose to address homelessness in our community? And we'll start with candidate Allen.
Again, as I said, I lived in my truck for 10 years. What did I do? First thing, I voted. I wrote a book, had it published. I wrote a ballot measure that received 98,000 votes in the 2018 special election. I always kept it clean and myself clean. And what I have demonstrated in this time is the fact that living in my vehicle, I can be a productive citizen. And I know that there are way too many people who think down on living in a vehicle. Would you rather live in a tent or a town car if you had the choice?
Thank you very much. Candidate Autumn.
Ellen, I have to agree with you there. I have a friend who lived in an RV for 2 years and definitely was in favor of that rather than a homeless shelter. But I think one of the things we see when we talk about the homelessness crisis is people are conflating a drug crisis and a homelessness crisis. We have to address both of them at once. A lot of people are stuck on the streets because they're stuck in the cycle of addiction. They are in a place where they can no longer take care of themselves because of addiction or mental health issues, and we need to be taking care of them instead of leaving them on the streets and calling it compassion. We need to make sure that we build the beds for drug treatment, we need to make sure we build the beds for mental health, and we need to get people into those beds instead of saying, oh, we'll wait till you're ready. Well, you're never ready on fentanyl. we see so many people dying on the streets whose limbs are literally rotting and they're not choosing treatment. If you're facing something that addictive, most people are not going to get out. And the people I know who are compelled into treatment often have their lives back today, while the people who we left to make their own decisions are dying on the streets.
Thank you very much. Candidate Bilal.
I'll be unequivocal in saying I do not support tent sweeps and I do not support pushing people off our streets. When people choose to live on the streets, it's because they don't have adequate shelter. The shelter that they have is too difficult to access, and there's not enough permanent supportive housing that people can access long term. And so we have to really focus on ensuring that we're solving the fundamental issue of this case, which is a lack of housing, a lack of shelter, a bureaucracy that has been systemic throughout decades of our San Francisco history. We don't have a money problem in addressing homelessness. We have a bureaucracy and an execution problem. And that's why I've introduced the Built for Zero plan that I alluded to earlier, because it ensures that you guarantee shelter and streamline the laws that ensure that we're able to get people and access to shelter. We cut the red tape and personalize the experience for every individual, getting the departments to talk to each other in an interagency task force to personalize treatment and care. The fundamental reality is that homelessness has gotten worse over the last several years in our district and citywide. And when we don't address it as a citywide issue, we're just pushing it from one neighborhood to another.
Thank you very much. Candidate Supervisor Dean.
It seems like every election year in San Francisco, there's a push to criminalize homelessness, and now that effort is supercharged by Trump's Supreme Court saying that it's okay to criminalize people and prosecute them for being homeless. I think it's unconscionable and totally unproductive. Let me say this, though. The city does a count every 2 years of how many people are actually homeless, and we just got back the results that showed a 21% decrease in unsheltered homelessness in our district, and that didn't just happen. We did it by acquiring places like the Gotham Hotel, creating 114 units of supportive housing, creating the Oasis Hotel for homeless families, filling hundreds of vacant units, and as we've talked about, preventing evictions. Those things were working to reduce homelessness. So when we now see the approach of criminalization sweeping people from block to block, it sets us back, and it's horrible that it occurs because people are punching down on homeless people instead of solving homelessness during an election season. It's just wrong.
Thank you very much. Candidate Scotty.
Yeah, I was waiting for this question. So I am in favor of safe sleeping sites. I'm in favor of us making sure that we have the right types of shelter capacity available so that we are ultimately making sure we are getting people the resources they need when they are experiencing homelessness. Homelessness has always been a part of San Francisco's history. I see Kristen Evans here waving to you. We talked a lot about homelessness has always been a part of our city's fabric, but the nature of the homelessness in San Francisco has fundamentally changed with the introduction of fentanyl on the streets. And we need to take a different approach when it comes to addressing the root causes of some of the homelessness, which include mental health and addiction challenges. I am in favor of us strengthening conservatorship laws when necessary. I am in favor of us also making sure that we are creating legal off-ramps in the justice system for instances where we do need to partner with law enforcement to compel people to treatment. Illness should not be a reason that someone is condemned to a felony for the rest of their life. That is not the right way to treat each other as humans. But we do need to partner with law enforcement and use all the means in our toolkit necessary to make sure that San Francisco can be a place where families and businesses can thrive.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next question. How will you help micro businesses, those are the ones with under 20 employees, in District 5 thrive, particularly those owned by marginalized groups or offering essential neighborhood services despite high costs, bureaucratic hurdles, and safety concerns? And I hope that was understandable. And Candidate Bilal.
This issue is personal to me. I've focused on this issue for so many decades of my experience. But let's start with, what are the issues affecting small businesses today and micro businesses? And they're struggling in District 5 due to bureaucracy, safety. Just 2 weeks ago, the ATM was dragged out of my neighborhood sandwich shop. The owner is a refugee. In Hayes Valley, a restaurant was set to open a couple months ago, and it was robbed the day before it opened. Just this weekend, that same restaurant was robbed again. That is the situation affecting so many small businesses and micro businesses, and it adding upon the bureaucracy and the red tape it takes to start a small business and maintain it, this is unconscionable. I've worked in the Obama administration on small business policy to cut the red tape to increase access to capital. During the pandemic, I helped restaurant workers get a guaranteed income through a community impact fund. I want to carry forward that experience into the supervisor's office to ensure we have the same level of support, ensuring we have beat patrol officers throughout every neighborhood day and night, of which we have close to zero currently today in every neighborhood in District 5, and cutting the red tape to make sure that we're able to help small businesses and micro businesses start faster, maintain their businesses, and thrive in our district.
Thank you very much. And God, I'm jumping all over the place here. Candidate Supervisor Dean.
Thank you. And you know, we had a number of businesses come to us early in 2020, right when I got into office, talking about the barriers that they were facing to open small businesses in the Fillmore. There were entrepreneurs who were trying to start out their business. We actually not only advocated for the budget, but created an entire program for micro grants for Fillmore entrepreneurs who were trying to get started. And we've been celebrating a number of rounds of recipients of those funds. The reality is, again, as I said before, I'm the only former small business owner on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. We've prioritized getting grants out to small businesses. We've also backed the Dreamkeeper initiative, which has led to a lot of the small businesses that have been able to open, particularly in the Fillmore and in the Black community. I'm proud of that work. I'm also proud to be endorsed by the head of the Tenderloin Merchants Association, as well as Small Business Forward and many business owners across the district, because they work with our office regularly and get results. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Candidate Scotty.
So one of the challenges I hear from small business owners when I'm walking through the district is that they are constantly experiencing the public safety challenges that are driving the national narrative around the street conditions in San Francisco. For small business owners to feel confident in being able to operate a business profitably and successfully in San Francisco, we need to be committed to making sure that there is a business environment conducive to doing so. And if we are not making sure that when a small business owner calls the police because someone drags the ATM out of their store, the police should show up. But we talk about defunding the police. I don't believe that's the right approach to making sure that we have a business environment conducive to small business here in San Francisco. We also have city departments that interfere with our small businesses and make it difficult to operate a small business here. And I believe that local advocacy starts with being on the ground, hearing from the business owners, and then working with department heads, not vilifying them, to make sure that we ultimately get things done for the people in our district. And that is what I will do as your next supervisor in District 5.
Thank you very much. Candidate Allen.
As far as my ideal on this subject is what I stated before. I believe that the fastest way to help somebody in a micro business is to give them business. And I remember a few months ago, there was a gentleman who had been hit outside of his Haight Street shop, sandwich shop. And the people who were outraged, they came in droves to support this person. And I think that by just sitting back and watching the news and see some of these people who are struggling as it is, for us to sit back, not you in this room, but for us as San Franciscans to sit back and not support, we're kidding ourselves. We can get to them before the police gets there to investigate the crime.
Thank you very much. Candidate Autumn.
So I used to run a small business, and I know how much work it is to keep on top of the payroll and the regulations and how hard it is, like the emotional toll of making sure that you can make payroll for your people and take care of your people every single month. So I have a soft spot for small business owners. I've been talking to them in the Tenderloin, and the stories you hear are just crazy. There was a woman I talked to who was running the restaurant that her parents had started 34 years before. And they'd had this gate up protecting their windows the entire time. So she's sitting there. We're talking at 1 p.m. She sold one bowl of soup, and she's telling me, hey, that gate my parents put up 34 years ago, I just got cited for not having a permit for it. It's cost me $900 for that permit, and I've spent all week at City Hall getting 6 different stamps from 6 different departments, and nobody helps me. I feel like I'm being asked to comply with every single rule there is, while the people on the streets have no rules, and they're making the streets unsafe, and my customers no longer come.
Thank you very much, Autumn. Well, guess what? That was the last question. So, no, you want to go on and on. Candidates, it's time to share your closing statements with San Francisco voters. We'll go in reverse alphabetical order by first name. You each have 60 seconds for closing statements. Candidate Scotty?
Well, first I'd like to just thank the League of Women Voters for putting this on. This is one of the sort of key parts of campaigning is coming and doing this forum, and so thank you for having us. You know, I'm running for supervisor because I believe in San Francisco. I'm not doing this because I have my eyes on Sacramento. I'm not doing this because I represent the inside perspective on government. I'm doing this because I'm a young person who looked up and said, I can't keep just posting into the ether and hoping things get better. If I want change to happen, I need to get involved. I believe that San Francisco and all of its problems are highly fixable. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't believe that. But I do believe that it's going to take new leadership and change, and frankly, a new generation of political leaders in San Francisco to get our city on the right track and aimed in the direction which helps us manifest all of the potential that when I walk around District 5 in our city, I see every day. And so, as we head toward November, I appreciate you getting to know me and my policies, and it's been a pleasure to be here with you all tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Candidate Supervisor Dean.
Thank you very much. We heard a lot of talk this evening, even some areas of agreement. I just want to emphasize that talk does not solve problems. I am focused on progress, not promises, and want to emphasize that I'm the only candidate in this race with a proven track record of getting things done in our communities and our neighborhoods. I did not move to this district recently to run for office. I have lived here 28 years serving our community. I am raising my family here. I love this district. And while we see Fox News attacking us constantly, I am busy stopping evictions, housing homeless families, and delivering for my constituents. This is why I've been endorsed by California nurses, teachers, the San Francisco Tenants Union, the San Francisco Labor Council, Small Business Forward, Nancy Pelosi, Bernie Sanders, the San Francisco Black Firefighters, Tenderloin Chinese Rights Association, Affordable Housing Alliance, San Francisco Building Trades, Young Democrats, and over 100 other community groups and leaders. Thank you all so much, and thank you, Mexi.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Candidate Bilal.
Thank you again, everyone, for being here, and League of Women Voters for hosting us. I will close by noting that this election is a once-in-a-decade opportunity for change. Our district is the heart of San Francisco. It gave my family a sense of belonging when they immigrated and a sense of community that I know so many of us here share as well. But unfortunately, this district also shares some of our city's biggest challenges. But I know that working together, we can actually build a better future, and the best days are still ahead of us. That starts by electing leaders that will not make excuses for their failures and not note the actual challenges that are affecting our neighborhoods. And it starts by fostering innovation and collaboration, listening to the community, and getting us to a city of yes, a city where we say yes to getting the basics right, where our neighbors are housed, our small businesses are thriving, and our streets are safe and clean. I'm the only candidate here who's gotten results from the federal government to the local nonprofit sector who will fight for District 5 results as well. I've been endorsed by the Democratic Party, by the unions, our mayor, our attorney general, groups that don't always agree, but they agree on my candidacy for District 5. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Candidate Autumn.
So people often ask me what a supervisor does exactly, and it's three things. First, We write laws and we hold hearings just like Congress does. We've got complicated problems and you want a practical person who is focused, effective, and nuanced. Second, this is the biggest customer service job in the city. You want someone you can trust to solve your problems. Third, your supervisor is the person who will be there for you on the worst day of your life. If your house burns down, it's your supervisor who will show up. You want someone effective and compassionate. But also, this is the heart of the city, the most diverse district, the place where everything important in our history happened. We are going to come together and we are going to solve our problems and be a beacon for the rest of the city. And if there's any trouble along the way, call my hope line, 415-729-5335. I have a track record of getting things done for the people of San Francisco. I started the school board recall and made real change when no one else would. And I brought algebra back after 10 years of after 10 years of it being gone. Vote for me this fall and vote for my track record of bringing hope to our city.
Thank you very much. And candidate Allen.
My most proud moment of being a San Franciscan was when someone asked me to teach the Bible to teenage murderers, rapists, and gang members. I did it for 10 years at the San Francisco Juvenile Hall. Now you don't get to be in a position like that for 10 years by being boring. I believe San Francisco is not a boring place. I have heard enough people talking down on San Francisco. And I myself, as you can tell by the class and style that I drive, I intend to lift up San Francisco just as I did lift up the young people who were struggling the most with an early life tragedy. And I look for your support at d5campaign.com.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to say, on behalf of the League of Women Voters of San Francisco, thank you to the candidates. Let's give them a round of applause. It's not easy running for office, y'all. You all the voters, you can give yourself a hand too. The JCCNC for supporting this nonpartisan forum. To everyone here tonight, tuning in online or watching the recording, thank you so much for participating in our democracy by learning about your choices for the upcoming election. The League of Women Voters will host candidate forums for most local races, including Community College Board, Mayor, and Sheriff. Visit our website at lwvsf.org to learn more and RSVP. Be a voter. Cast your vote by Election Day on November 5th. Your vote matters. Be the change you want to see right here in District 5. Together, we can build the future of our community block by block. And it may sound like cliches, but sometimes cliches are absolutely true, you know. And I think in this case that they are. Remember to vote, encourage your friends, drag them if you have to, family and neighbors to vote. Thank you. Good night, y'all.